Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
So today we want to finish up this story with the shepherds. And we're going to talk about the shepherds and what they feared. And it reminds me, when I was a kid, I was in a play. And in this play, I was one of the shepherds, I guess. No, I was a wise man. I was somebody. And I remember that in the play, the shepherds were out on the stage, and the angel came out and said, "Fear not." And all the shepherds screamed, "Ah!" You know, and the angel said, "I said, fear not." And, you know, "Ah!" They scream again. And it makes me laugh because I think about how true that would be. Can you imagine you're sitting out in a field, right, middle of the night, you got a bunch of sheep laying around, you're kind of dozing off yourself, and all of a sudden the sky opens up and this giant angel appears and begins to talk to you? Like, I would freak out too. I freak out a little bit whenever I'm dozing off on the couch and my wife comes in the room and says, "Hey, it's time to get up," and I start, you know, jumping around hitting stuff. So I understand that these guys had an issue. And so we want to pick up their story in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. I know I just read this, but we're going to listen to it again. It says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, in the Old Testament, the shepherd is really kind of an important figure, because you look at it, in the first offering that was ever accepted by God was from a shepherd, Abel, right? And then the Bible talks about Moses. Moses was a shepherd. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all shepherds, right? And then you even get into King David, came up as a shepherd. So in the Old Testament, shepherding is really a big deal. But there begins to be a switch, a shift in mindset, according to a lot of scholars, that somewhere between the Old Testament and the New Testament, as people begin to settle more and more and begin to farm more and more, shepherding began to be looked down upon as a career path. And so they begin to look down on these shepherds. They begin to talk bad about shepherds. Shepherds most of the time were uneducated. Most of the time shepherds were dirty. They've been out in the field with a bunch of animals, right? So it's not the cleanest of jobs. And so shepherds are very transient lifestyle. They never put down roots. A lot of times shepherds were even slaves or youngest sons that weren't able to inherit the dad's business. The youngest son just had to go to work as a shepherd. And so these shepherds were a lot of time despised and rejected. And I think it's interesting that people that were despised and rejected is exactly what Jesus associated himself with in the New Testament. He says, "I am the good shepherd." They may be despised and rejected in your eyes, but in my eyes, this is an important job, and this is exactly what I'm here to do, is to shepherd people. So today we want to look at why these shepherds might have felt some fear. Because I'm going to be honest with you, if your whole life you were told you're a nobody, if your whole life you were told you were less than garbage, if your whole life you were on the lowest point of the caste system, and an angel shows up, if your religious leaders, your priests and your pastor, all they ever did was tell you that you're a sinner, they classified shepherds as sinners. Not because of what they had done, but because of who they were. It wasn't even a matter of their actions. It was just a matter of their career choice, that they were classified with the tax collectors and the sinners. I mean, there's no worse rejection than to be called IRS. And that's where the shepherds were. And so it's important for you to understand their mindset here. If you've been told your whole life by the religious leaders that you're the worst, and then an angel shows up, I bet your first thought is, "He's about to kill me. This is God's judgment on my life." And I had this feeling that the shepherd's fear was not just of the angel, but their fear was the fact that we're about to stand before God. And we are not ready to stand before God. Maybe not even because of what they've been told. I mean, what they did, but because of what they've been told about themselves. I want to tell you three things that I think caused this fear in the shepherds. And it's three feelings that they probably had. The first feeling is they felt unworthy. So if you're taking notes this morning, the first one is unworthy. See, we feel unworthy a lot of times. Unworthy is a spiritual problem that we have. When you feel unworthy, it's because you feel unworthy spiritually. And I think it's one of these things that we deal with in church a lot, because we look at the preacher, or we look at the person in the church that's so holy and so wonderful, and we just think, I'll never amount to that. I'll never be that person. I'll never be that spiritual. And so we feel totally unworthy. When we feel unworthy, it's because we look back at our sin and we think, You may have done something bad, but I've done something worse. And we begin to categorize all of our past sins, and all of our past sins begin to define who we are, and we feel very unworthy. So then when we come to church, most of the time we don't want to come to church because we feel so unworthy. But when we do show up at church, we don't want to worship. We don't want to pray. We don't want to listen to the Word. Why? Because I'm so unworthy. I feel so bad about who I am and what I've done in my past, and I've allowed that sin to define me. We see ourselves as unclean, and that's exactly what the priests did to the shepherds. They would look at them and they would say they're unclean. You know who else was unclean? Lepers were unclean. The shepherds were unclean because of what they did, who they were. And this is something that these guys had to get in their mind, that this is who they were. They felt unworthy. And folks, I'm going to tell you today, there's a lot of us that feel this way. I know for years I would struggle going to church. My dad was a pastor. And you would think that would make it easier for me, but it made it worse, because I'm looking at my own father and I'm thinking, I'll never be as spiritual as him. And I've got these struggles and I've got these issues and I've got this sin. And look what I did in my past. But he's so good and I'll never meet up to that. And so I would go into church and they would worship and they would sing, and I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. Oh, I would fake it. I would raise my hands and I would clap my hands and I would sing as loud as I could. But on the inside, I felt unworthy and I did not want to be a part of it. I couldn't wait for the service to be over so I could go home. And some of you may feel that way today. You may feel like a shepherd. The other problem the shepherds had is they felt inadequate. Inadequate. Christmas time shows your inadequacy more than any other time of the year, in my opinion. Because everybody's posting on Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter and Instagram all their pictures of the perfect family Christmas. And you got the mom there and everything's perfect and her kids are all in line for the family picture and everything's wonderful, and they're making these cookies with reindeer antlers and all this stuff and gingerbread houses that are just spectacular. We did gingerbread houses at our house last night. It looked like a tornado had blown through Gingerbread Village. You know, like all the houses have fallen apart. One of the kids just completely ate their house. Like, they built it and ate it. And so it just looked awful. And I was looking, there's some of these pictures sometimes where it shows like what you see on Pinterest and then people that try to emulate that, you know. And one of the ones that was really cool, and I thought, I want to try this. And it's where they take water balloons and fill them up with water and put food coloring in them. And they freeze them, and then you cut the water balloon off of it, and you've got this really cool giant marble, ice marble, that you put out in your yard. And the people on Pinterest, I mean, it was perfect. It looked awesome. They had all these different colored marbles going down the driveway. And then it showed the picture of the people, the real life people that try it, and like their red marble had melted almost immediately in the snow, and there was like a snowman there, and it looked like the snowman was just bleeding everywhere, you know, just blood and mayhem all over the place, you know. And so a lot of times we feel inadequate in our life socially. We feel like maybe we're not the most educated, right? Maybe we're not the most educated. Look, I'm there. I'm not the most educated. I didn't go to college. And sometimes I feel very inadequate when I get around really smart people. And I'm like, oh, I better pretend like I know big words, right? And so that's why I like to read the dictionary sometimes. So I learn a few big words. I can throw them in. And nobody knows that I'm as dumb as I am. And so it's important to understand, we feel inadequate because of our education. Maybe we feel inadequate because of our job. Look at what I do. I don't have this really nice white collar job. I'm not a businessman. I'm not a manager. I'm just a lowly blue collar worker. And we feel inadequate because of that. Maybe we feel like we never meet up with that perfect standard. I'll never be like Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, and their family's so perfect. When their kids come into church, they all come in a line and they all sit down quiet. When my kids come into church, I got kids getting up, walking around, like in the middle of my sermon. Right? Sometimes I feel inadequate. And I think sometimes, truth be told, you could say that you feel inadequate too. There's a lot of areas in life where we feel inadequate. And these guys felt very inadequate because they didn't have the perfect life that everybody else had. The other thing that they felt was they felt unloved. When you're constantly being told that you're a nobody, when you're constantly being told that you're unclean, when you walk into the room and nobody wants to talk to you because you're a shepherd, you feel unloved. And sometimes we can be in a room this size, packed full of people, and feel like nobody loves us, nobody cares for us. I remember there was times I would go in, and I shared this a couple weeks ago. I was sitting in a room, I remember, packed full of people, and they all loved me. We're all friends. But I remember I felt such loneliness. And I think part of the problem is sometimes we search for love and relationship in people and not in God first. And people always let us down. They don't mean to, but they always do. And so we've got this gaping hole that we are trying to fill with people and relationships. And we're constantly trying to grab somebody to help us. And it's never going to work. And so we feel unloved. These shepherds, I heard that they were considered thieves and they were considered lazy. This one story I read about the shepherds back in those days said that oftentimes, let's say if I was a shepherd and you may have just a couple of sheep at your house, you know, that you're going to raise to eat, that you didn't want to actually take those sheep out because you've got a really good job and you don't have time to take the sheep out. So you would hire me to take your sheep out, but people would get mad at the shepherds because they said they would always let those sheep wander around, right? They wouldn't take care of them because the shepherds were so lazy and they were so inconsiderate. A lot of times the scholar said that the shepherds, even dads, wouldn't want their daughters to marry a shepherd. Can you imagine going to your father-in-law to be, or your girlfriend's husband, girlfriend's husband, that's not good. You go to your girlfriend's husband, you're in trouble, man. I'm going to tell you right off the bat, you got more problems than I can fix. You go to your girlfriend's dad and you're like, hey, I want to ask for her hand in marriage. And he says, what is it that you do again? You're like, I'm a shepherd. He says, I don't have a daughter. Go away. You know what I mean? He's like, get out of here, you rat. And so it's one of those things, they felt unloved. And I think, again, coming back to us, I think we can all find those moments in our life. Maybe for some of us it's today. Maybe for some of us it's in our past. But maybe we all find those moments that we feel unloved. And we feel like nobody really cares about me. But here's the cool thing. In verse 10 it says, and the angel said to them, fear not. He says, don't be afraid of how everybody perceives you. Don't be afraid of standing before God because of this. For behold, I bring you good news. Today I want to give you three parts of the good news that they brought. He says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That word there, that term great joy, is a joy, it's a happiness, it's a fulfillment that doesn't come from something that you do. It only comes by grace. According to the Greek translation of it, it's a joy that you can only get from God. In other words, I can't earn this joy. I can't build up, I can't do enough works, I can't get out of shepherding to make myself have this joy. No. This is a joy that only God can bring to my life. And that's some good news. When you're living a life where you're always rejected and you're always looked down on and you can't ever get up and go to the next level, when you're living that kind of life, you need some joy that you don't have to earn. And there's some of us, we've been trying to earn our joy our whole life. And God says, there's some good news for you today. There's a great joy that you don't have to earn. It's by grace. It's a free gift. He also said it's for all people. It's for all people. It's for everyone, every type of person. Doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you came from, it doesn't matter what you've done and who you are right now. It matters that the joy, the good news is for all people. He says, look, this joy is for shepherds, it's for kings, it's for priests, it's for paupers, it's for everybody. I've got a great joy for you that only Jesus can bring into your life, and it's for everyone. We're all accepted. See, part of my life, when I felt unworthy, it was because I was always thinking about my past. And what God says is, I don't care about your past. I care about your future. And if you can make a decision today, I can change everything that you've done. The other thing he says is, a Savior is born. A Savior is born. See, I think sometimes we think, if we can just get the right president, if I can just get the right boss, if I can just find the right woman or the right man, if I can just get the right pastor, get somebody that actually tucks in their shirt and wears a tie, right? If I can just find the right church, if I can find the right job, if I can get the right situation, then everything's going to be okay. And the Bible says it's not about your situation. It's not about your job. It's not about your boss. It's not about your spouse. It's not about your family. It's about your Savior. He didn't say, I'm going to bring you an advisor. He didn't say, I'm going to bring you a president. He didn't say, unto you this day is given a new boss. He said, unto you this day is given a Savior. Somebody that will change your life, that will bring you out from where you are. You feel stuck in an unworthy, inadequate, unloving situation, but I'm bringing you a Savior today that can pull you out of all of that mess. I want to close this morning with this final thought. And that is Luke 2:14. The last thing the angel said is, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. That word peace there means complete. And I love that because I feel like this message is almost exactly, that the angels are sharing, is almost exactly to the shepherds. Have you ever felt that before? Like sometimes you heard somebody speak something and you're like, man, that is, like they are reading my mail. Like they are talking straight to me. And I feel like that's how the shepherds are dealing with this right now, because when the angel says peace, that translation there means complete or whole. And these shepherds are going through their life feeling unworthy, inadequate, and unloved. When you're unworthy, you're inadequate, and you're unloved, you feel like you're not whole. You're not complete. There's something missing. If I'm unworthy, I'm missing something, right? And so when He says, look, there's peace on you. There's a way for you to be made whole and complete. Peace. The only thing is, a peace only comes through Christ. In Colossians 2, 9 through 10, in the New Living Translation, it says, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Verse 10, so you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and every authority. So peace means complete. You can only have that completeness, that peace, by being with Christ. And then it says this, it says that the peace comes on those with whom He is pleased. Well, right now, if you're feeling unworthy or inadequate or unloved, you're thinking, I'm not pleasing Him. How can I please Him? This is the great part. He's only pleased by faith. He's not pleased by works. He's not pleased by clothes. He's not pleased by social status. He's not pleased by whether or not you got a bloody mess in the snow outside your house, right? He's not pleased by perfection. He's pleased by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do I please Him? How do I please Him? How do I have that faith? What is it that I need to do here? Well, let's look at the words of Christ as we end this message today. Matthew 11:28 says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word rest there, guess what it means? Peace, completeness, wholeness. We try to find our peace. We try to find our completeness in everything else, and it fails us, and we feel unworthy. It fails us, and we feel inadequate. It fails us, and we feel unloved. The relationship you thought was going to take you to that next level, the relationship you thought was going to help you out, is the one that failed you, and now you feel unloved. That job you thought you were going to get and hold on to, and this is the job that's going to put me over the top. And then next thing you know, your boss cuts your legs out from underneath you, and you're jobless, and you got nowhere to go. You feel like, I'm not doing anything with my life. The job lets you down. You feel inadequate. You make it to church and you think you're doing good and you think you're over that addiction. You think you're over that. And then all of a sudden, what happens? You fall right back into that same old sin. And you feel unworthy. Jesus says this. You want to be complete? You want to be complete? You want to be whole? You want to have the peace that I'm talking about? You want to please Me? All you got to do is come to Me. All you got to do is come to me. And he says this, you're carrying heavy burdens. You're weighed down. What weighs us down? All that stuff I just talked about. The unworthiness, the sin, the relationships, the putting our hope in all this other stuff. And it keeps weighing us down and weighing us down and weighing us down. And Jesus says, listen, if you would just stop carrying that mess and come to me and lay it all down. Lay it all down. Serve me. And I'm going to give you the peace you need. I'm going to make you complete. This morning, I believe God wants to make you complete. And honestly, I believe in a room this size, there are quite a few of us probably that feel incomplete. There are probably quite a few of us. Look, I'm not even saying that you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not serving God, but sometimes you still feel unworthy, or sometimes you still feel inadequate. Sometimes you still feel unloved. Right? And when you feel that way, it's because there's some kind of block. There's some kind of thing that you've been putting your hope in, and it's just not working. And we need to give everything we've got to God today. We need to lay every burden down. We need to put all of our faith in Him. And as we do, I believe He's going to change our lives. Why don't you close your eyes with me this morning? Lord, I love You and I thank You for this group of people, friends and family, God, that have come together today to celebrate Jesus. And I thank You that today, God, the greatest gift we could give to our friends and family is to give our lives to Jesus Christ. And the greatest gift we can receive is not under a Christmas tree somewhere, but it was hanging on a tree, and that was You, Jesus, making a sacrifice for all of our sins. And You said, if you'll just come and exchange your burdens with Me, I'll make you complete, I'll make you whole. If we could just serve You, if we could give our lives to You, and stop trying to serve everything else, stop trying to worry about everything else, but worry about You, then You can make us complete and give us that peace that we're looking for. You make us worthy. We can't make ourselves worthy. You make us adequate. We can't go to enough school or read enough books or make enough money to be adequate. Only You do that. And God, no matter how many relationships we have, we'll never feel love the way that You love us, that unconditional love. So right now, I pray for everyone in this room, and I just ask that You would speak to all of our hearts by Your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts right now and let us know what it is that You're wanting to do in us today. Today, if you say, Gabriel, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I need to make that change. I need to lay down these burdens. I am weighed down. I feel inadequate, unworthy, and unloved. I'm struggling and I know the problem. The problem is I'm not committed to Christ. I don't have my faith in Him. I'm not living for Him. And I need to do that today. I need to make that choice, that decision today. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up in the air. You can put it right back down. Just let me see. Let me see who I'm praying for this morning. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? My next thing is this. Maybe you're just saying, Gabriel, I am serving God. I love God. But I still struggle with those feelings you talked about. I still feel like a shepherd sometimes. I feel unworthy. I feel inadequate. I feel unloved. I'm not perfect like everybody else. And I just need God to come in and make me complete today. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up with me right now? Yeah. Lots of us. Lots of us. Why don't we pray this prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for trying to be complete all on my own. I can't make it happen. But I thank You today for the good news of Your grace that touches my life and changes me and makes me whole. Today, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. I lay down all my burdens and I receive Your love and Your grace. Make me worthy. Make me adequate. And help me to feel Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.